Well, good morning.
Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. We do want to welcome you to the services here at Meridian Baptist Church. We pray that you truly experience God's presence as we worship the Lord together this morning. If you are visiting with us, we want to get acquainted with you. We want to get to know you better. So please do us a favor. Find that guest card there in the pew. It looks like this card here in my hand. I encourage you to take that card and simply fill that out and place that in the offering plate at the appropriate time so that we can rejoice in your attendance with us today. I do have just a couple of announcements that I want to mention. There are a lot of announcements in the bulletin, but I'm going to kind of focus on the ones specifically for this week. So I do want to mention that today the nominating committee will meet at 12 noon after service in the Adult 2 Sunday School classroom. So if you're part of that committee, please make a note of that. Also, the church council and the Budget and Finance Committee will be meeting together at 3:30 today in the conference room. And then also pertaining to meetings, our Student Minister Search Committee will meet today at 5 o'clock. So please make a note of that and continue to pray for that team as they seek God's direction and God's guidance pertaining to our next student minister. The Women's Christmas Craft Party is Sunday, November 10th. That's just 1 week from today. Also in your bulletin, you should have an envelope for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I know we're a couple of months away from Christmas being here, but it'll be here before you know it. So let's already be praying in advance for God to use that amazing offering to further his kingdom. I have a couple of other things that I want to mention pertaining to just this past weekend. We had an amazing Fall Fest. To God be the glory. I am so forever grateful for all those that came together and made that event happen. The attendance was strong. We had about 600 bags that we passed out. Let me back up a little bit. We had 600 available, and we passed out about 450 of them. So that'll give you a good gauge of how many families came through, and we're thankful for that. And in those bags were information about the church, along with gospel presentations and things of that nature. So we were so thankful to minister to our community in that way. And just as a pastor, I want to say thanks for all of those who came together to make it happen, from the cooking of the food to the popcorn and the snow cones and the trunk or treats and all the things that just made it happen and become a very, very special night. One final note that I want to mention is we had 102 in Sunday school this morning. Two other announcements. I'm sorry, I had two others I wanted to mention. We also want to take time out and mention our Meridian Baptist t-shirts that we will be selling today. So we want to keep that in mind. My wife, along with Robin Stroud, will be manning that table. It's just outside these doors to my left and to your right. The cost is $10. And so after service, we encourage you to come and get a Meridian Baptist t-shirt. The senior adults will also be going to see the Sistine Chapel exhibit there in Pigeon Forge on Thursday, November 7th. They're leaving the church at 10 a.m. And so bring the earbuds with the smartphone so that way you can follow the tour. Cost is $20 plus the trip and the meal. So looking forward to that. Continue to pray for our Samaritan's Purse. And I believe we're doing a special prayer for that today. Is that correct? Next week. Okay. Got it.
Are due next week.
Okay. All right. So the Operation Christmas Child boxes are due next week, and we have about maybe 10 remaining. Is that where we are?
They're right here, too.
All right. So they are also outside the hallway to my left and to your right. A lot of wonderful things going on in the church family. I'm thankful for that. But as we begin our worship service today, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask his blessing as we worship together. Why don't we do this? I know this is a little out of the norm. Let's stand as we have this prayer, and then we'll move straight into our time of worship. Let's just dedicate this service to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for the privilege that we have, that we can collectively come together just to praise you and to worship you and to give you the glory. Father, there are so many things going on in the life of our church, different ministry projects from Operation Christmas Child to the Fall Fest, which we just had, and Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, the food boxes, and there's so many opportunities of ministry. Lord, we give those to you. We pray that we truly would be the hands and feet for the gospel that you have called us to be. Father, help us as a church to be Great Commission minded. Lord, that we would see people saved. Father, I pray that you would bring families into this church. Lord, we have such a wonderful faith family, and Lord, we want it to grow. And so, Lord, we ask in advance that you would just bless our church family. Be with our time together today. Lord, we ask a special prayer for the worship service as we lift up these songs, that we would sing them with a pure heart. And Father, as we open up the scriptures a little later, we ask that you would just take the message and seal it to our hearts. Father, we love you. We praise you. We stand in awe of your presence and your glory and your honor. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Remain standing if you will.
Fill the air and let there be praise. the God of the universe loves me and knows me by name. I'm overwhelmed that the voice of creation speaks to my heart just the same. He tells the winds when to breathe and be still. He calms my heart when nothing else will.
Good-looking bunch we have coming. Did y'all have a good week? Did y'all have fun Thursday night? Did you get a lot of candy? Will you share it with me? I didn't think so. That's okay, because I should have brought all that we had left. Well, you know what we've been talking about these past few weeks? The armor of God. And here's a little reminder. Do you remember what we talked about last week and the week before? Yes, what?
The shoes of truth.
The shoes of peace. But what about the belt? That's it, the belt of truth. And there was one other piece of armor that we talked about. Both of you, tell me.
The breastplate of righteousness.
Yes, the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, I like your enthusiasm and your memory. I'm jealous of the memory. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And in Ephesians, continuing with the same passage of scripture that we've been talking about, we are in Ephesians 6. And the verse this morning I want you to hear is Ephesians 6:16. And it says, in all circumstances, all situations, all the time, that's Linda's translation, take up the shield of faith. with which you can extinguish, you can put out, you can out the flaming darts or the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, who's the evil one?
Satan.
Satan himself. He's a sneaky, tricky dude. He's a sneaky snake. I think I just spit all over the microphone. Well, if you can imagine these fiery arrows coming at you, what would your reaction be? Running, me too. Or screaming. You would stand there and endure the pain. I would probably collapse, curl into a ball, cover my head, and scream like a baby. But thankfully, we don't really have to face real flaming arrows. And that's not really what God is talking about here in His Word. He's really talking about doubt. And where does doubt come from? Satan himself. And what is doubt? How would you...
Giving up.
Not believing. Not trusting. Questioning. Not obeying. Well, that's exactly what doubt means. But what does God want us to do? Not doubt Him. Or in other words, trust Him. Have faith in Him. Trust what He says, because God is true. He always tells the truth. Now, why would God always tell the truth?
He cares about us.
Because He cares about us and He cannot lie. Who is the one who lies?
Satan.
Do you remember how Satan tricked Eve in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
He was really slick. He said, in His greasy voice, "Did God really say?" And what did that make Eve do? She doubted, and therefore she did. She disobeyed God, and she took the fruit. The snake was lying. He was being tricky here. He said, "Well, did God really say?" Well, how do you know what truth is? It's always in the Bible. Can you always trust the Bible? Yes, because who wrote the Bible? Well, let's put it this way. Who's the author of the Bible? God is, and what God says is true. And because He cares for us and He loves us, He wants to protect us. And therefore, when He says, take up the full armor of God, put it on, and included in that is the shield of faith, because God wants us to trust Him and not doubt Him and question anytime Satan tempts us to doubt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can always trust You. We can trust Your Word. We can trust You. We can trust Jesus with our very lives. And Father, I pray that You might continue to watch over and protect Your children, that You would give us the courage to overcome doubt and fear and sin. Help us to take up the shield of faith and to trust You so that Satan's fiery arrows can't hurt us. In fact, the shield of faith can actually extinguish and put those fiery arrows out of business. Thank You for loving us, Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Linda. And building on that thought, I do want to draw your attention to our passage. For today, we are in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be specifically honing in on verse 16. And this is what it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. It's time for our fellowship, so let's all stand together. Take time out and find a volunteer fan and shake their hand.
we just want to thank you for today and thank you for allowing us to come together and worship. Dear God, we just pray that you bless this tithes and offering. Just pray that you'd also open our hearts to the message, dear God, to what you'd have us do. We just thank you for our church. Most of all, we thank you for our forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. There's a day that's dawning near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise. Rise,
Thank you, Brother John. What a great message and song. Take your Bibles, if you will, and find Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We continue our verse-by-verse study of the armor of God. And I pray that you have been encouraged. I pray that you've been challenged through this study. And so we're about halfway through as we walk through the various aspects of the armor. And I pray today, as we specifically consider what we refer to as the shield of faith, that it would be encouraging to all of us. And I want to echo what Miss Linda said to the children in her children's moment. Part of understanding the shield of faith is the flaming arrows of doubt. The enemy is all about doing everything he can to distract you and hold you back in your service to the Lord. And one of his favorite tools in his toolbox is doubt. He wants you to doubt and lack the faith as you go through the Christian life. And so those are some of the themes that will come up today. We've already read our primary passage, but what I want to do is go back and read the passage in its entirety. We have done this each and every Sunday. We'll be looking all the way down to verse 18. And after we read this, I want to lead us in a word of prayer. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And in other words, because of these things, this is what we ought to do. Look at verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." And then our key verse for today, this is what it says: "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then verse 18, it says this about prayer: "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Thanks be to God for His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the richness of Your Word, and we have such an amazing privilege, a privilege that oftentimes we take for granted, the privilege that we can collectively come together as a group of believers, as a faith family, as the Meridian family. And Lord, that we can open up the Scriptures and take these words and incorporate them into our life. Father, we want to be people of prayer. We want to daily put on the armor of God. And Lord, as we consider Paul's words to the church at Ephesus, Father, we know that these same words of encouragement apply to us. And so, God, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, as we go through life, help us to put on the armor of God every moment of our life. May there not be a moment that we let up, give up, shut up for the cause of Christ. Lord, that we would keep on the firing line, that we would stay the course. Father, there is a battle going on, and Father, we want to be prepared. And so as we consider the armor of God, we pray that You would give us clarity of thought, that we would see this illustration and look at this metaphor from the pen of Paul and understand the message that he has for believers, that we would be ready for battle. And Father, as we have already prayed earlier in this service, Lord, we pray most importantly, if there is someone here today that has never given their heart to You. Maybe they're present here in the sanctuary, and maybe they're listening by way of social media, but whatever the case may be, if there's someone hearing this message today that does not know You, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, that You would make it clear to them that they need to do business with You. We ask all of this in the powerful, precious name, Jesus the Christ, and all God's people said, Amen.
So we've been walking through the various aspects of what we refer to as the armor of God. And so there are six pieces of the armor that we find listed here. I've always considered there to be seven aspects of the armor of God because we find in the last verse, in verse 18, a reference to prayer. And so I do plan to bring a message specifically about prayer when it comes to spiritual warfare. But we are at about what we could call the halfway point. We've already considered the belt of truth. And just to kind of recap a little bit of what we talked about, it is vital and necessary as we go through the Christian life to be prepared for battle. And when we think about what it means to gird up your loins, you think about what that language meant for the soldier of that day. That meant to be prepared for that formidable foe. The fact that our adversary, the devil, is constantly on the prowl. And how do we combat our adversary? Well, we do so by the truth of God's Word. And so one of the ways that Paul illustrates the importance of truth within the life of the believer is to stress the belt of truth, to be prepared and ready and be ready for that daily battle. Verse 14 talked about the breastplate of righteousness. And there were a lot of takeaways that we gleaned from when we looked at the breastplate of righteousness, but I really think the primary theme was living a life that would honor God. In other words, living a life of personal holiness. What we might call today in 21st century society as clean living. Living a life that is right with God. Being in right standing with God. And one of the things that I stressed in that particular message is it's not necessarily that we do these things and try to dot our I's and cross our T's and live a certain way so that we can be in right standing with God. That's not what Scripture teaches. We're only in right standing with God, not because of anything that we do, but rather what Jesus has done for us. And so when we have the righteousness of Christ, when we have rightness with God, we are going to have a desire to live our lives in such a way that it honors and glorifies God. So we pursue what is described as personal holiness. And when we think about the breastplate of righteousness, I believe with all of my heart that's what Paul was saying. As you face the daily battles, as you go out into the daily battlefield, it can go a long way if you're living a life that is in right standing with God and having rightness with God. That breastplate of righteousness would protect what we call the vital organs of the soldier. And so we also can make that correlation. Last week we considered what we called the shoes of peace. Some translations refer to them as the sandals of peace. And we talked about the type of footwear that the soldier would wear in that day out on the battlefield. Those shoes would be kind of like a half sandal, half boot, to put it in language that we can understand today. And they would have that traction that was needed, like cleats or spikes as they needed to stand firm on the battlefield. And it serves as a reminder that we stand firm when it comes to the truth of God's Word. And so here we are today considering the importance of the shield of faith. Now, we live in a culture and society today that when they talk about faith, they love to talk about maybe blind faith, or maybe they refer to it as a leap of faith. These are the type of words and type of catchphrases that we hear in our society when we think about faith. But when we're talking about biblical faith, we need to make sure and know and understand that it is not some sort of leap of faith, and it's certainly not blind faith. I don't think that's the biblical definition at all. Now, it's true, of course, that Scripture tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Nobody denies that truth. And we're also told in Scripture that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so, in a sense, we don't understand faith without just stepping out and trusting the Lord. But there is also an object to faith. And I think that's what we need to hone in today. The object of faith is God Himself and the promises of His Word. And especially His Son, Jesus Christ, as He is revealed in the Gospel. And so faith derives its strength from its object. And it's a solid object. Hear me today. And if you don't hear anything else today, just hone in on this. You can find assurance in the Word of God. I mean, we live in a culture and society today that is constantly questioning the validity of the Word of God. Our culture and society today laughs and scoffs at the authority of the Word of God. And as believers, we need to know and stand firm on the truth of God's Word. Praise be to God, we have a firm foundation in God's Word. And so we think about faith in Scripture. It's always defined by its object, that is, that our faith is truly in God. I think that's important to note. There have been instances in my life, maybe you can testify to this. I don't know your journey, I don't know your story, I don't know all that you've gone through in your life, but as believers, we all can testify that there are seasons, there are moments, there are times in the life timeline, we don't know what to do, we don't know what to say, we don't know how to respond, but we act in faith. And that's part of what the Christian life is about. We trust in what God's Word says. I mean, think about it. Raise your hand. How many times have you been in a circumstance and you don't know what to do? And you open up the Word of God and you seek God's direction. You seek God's guidance and you still don't know exactly how it'll all pan out. But you say, God, I'm trusting you. I pray that's part of your story. I pray that's part of your testimony, because faith can be defined this way. Think of this acrostic. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. And that's how we are to live the Christian life. So we think about the shield of faith. Now, up until this point, Paul has described different aspects of the armor as items that we wear. For instance, we mentioned the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of peace. Those are items that obviously we wear on our body. But the shield is different. Paul tells us that the shield is something we must take up, that we take up and we are required to raise. In other words, just strapping it to our arm won't do any good at all if we don't make the effort to hold it and use it. But why do we have to take it up? The reason is answered there in verse 16. It's because of our adversary, the devil. He has his flaming arrows. I've described it this way before. I feel like a broken record. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, I truly believe that our adversary, the devil, has a blueprint. He knows exactly, specifically speaking, what flaming and fiery arrows he needs to shoot your direction. And the things that you struggle with may not necessarily be the things that I struggle with, and the things that I struggle with may not necessarily be the things that you struggle with. But know this, Satan knows exactly which fiery darts to throw your way. And so it's vital and necessary as we go out into the battlefield of life that we are prepared and we pick up our shield of faith, that we go through life living a life of faith. Because those flaming arrows will certainly come our way. One commentator described these fiery arrows. It's a lot to take in. I thought about trying to break it down and give you a little bit piece by piece. But let me just take a moment and indulge and read this to you if you don't mind. This is what the author says. It made for an interesting weapon. It had a heavy iron tip wrapped in cloth, which was dipped in tar. Just before shooting them, they would light the tar, which obviously is high in oil content, and they would become flaming arrows. Then the flaming missile would be shot at the enemy troops. The pitch burned fiercely, and on impact it would splatter flaming bits, igniting anything flammable in its path. In addition to piercing a person's body, such arrows inflicted serious burns on enemy soldiers and destroyed their clothing and their gear. Even the speed of the arrow in the air wouldn't extinguish the flame. It was a deadly flaming missile. These arrows would cause panic within the opposing ranks, especially when they embedded themselves into the shields and began to cause a shield to burn. A frightened soldier would throw down his burning shield, leaving himself and those around him unprotected from arrows and spears. You can imagine the result. I know that's a lot to take in, but keep in mind, Paul is using an illustration. We've described this all throughout this study. Paul has chosen to use the armor of the Roman soldier to describe the daily battles that you and I face. Hear me today. Spiritual warfare is real. I mean, we see that all in our culture and society today. Look at the condition that our nation is in. In 2 days, as a country, we go to the polls to express our thoughts about the President of the United States. And I'm not going to get political. I do encourage you to read my article in The Evangel this past week. But may I say this to you today? We have a responsibility as Christians to speak out. The Bible makes it clear certain things are sin. And we need to stand firm on the Word of God. But if you don't see these issues, if you don't see these social matters as people describe them, if you don't see them as fiery darts that the enemy is hurling and throwing our way, you need to wake up. Because quite frankly, you need to put on the armor of God. And you need to have the shield of faith up as you face these daily battles. So these flaming arrows were heavy iron tips wrapped in cloth, dipped in tar, and that tar would be lit. You can just imagine how horrific that would be. There were two primary types of shields used in Roman times. There was a small circular shield primarily used in hand-to-hand combat. I guess we could describe it almost what we have seen in movies, like a gladiator would use, like a one-on-one hand-to-hand combat, almost like Captain America's shield. I don't mean to make light of it, but I think that gives us an idea. We all can kind of envision what that shield would look like, almost like a round frisbee. That was the first type of shield that would be used in one-on-one combat. It was usually pounded metal and very thin. But then there was the larger rectangular shield that was called a Therion. And the Therion was actually a lot larger. It was 2.5 feet wide and 4.5 feet tall. It was also 6 inches thick. Let me give those dimensions one more time. It was about 2.5 feet wide, 4.5 feet tall, and 6 inches thick. And it was designed in such a way, like a large rectangle, that as the soldiers went out to battle, they could kind of hunker down behind that shield, and they would line up together, and they would form what was called a tortoise formation, almost like a shell. Now, I know we all joke about me being short in stature, but in all reality, most people of that day were probably about my height, pretty short people. And so a shield that size, it wasn't hard for them to kind of hunker down, and they would line up as they went through the battlefield. And so it was the tortoise formation. There's a lot of takeaways from that. And I'll get to this later in the message. But it serves as a reminder that as we navigate the Christian life, as the church faces the battles that come before us, as we face those flaming, fiery darts, it serves as a reminder that we need each other. That as we come together, as we collectively come together as the church, that we need our shields of faith. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Folks, that's what comes to mind when we think about the shield of faith. They would interlock those shields and they would move forward. Church, hear me today. We need to interlock our shields and move forward. Keep on the firing line. That's what we're called to do. Now I want you to notice on the back of your bulletin today, we have just a few things that I want to mention about the shield. If you're taking notes, the first thing I want to mention is simply this. A shield is the first line of defense. A shield is the first line of defense. Again, let's kind of camp out at our primary verse of 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And so a shield is the first line of defense. While the rest of our armor helps protect us from Satan's onslaught, it is not what you ideally want to be using to absorb every hit. I mean, think about it. You do not want, for instance, to go out into battle and intentionally block everything with your head. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, being a little facetious, by the way. I mean, we don't want to go out on the battlefield and intentionally try to put out our limbs and see if they can get hit. That doesn't make any sense. The first line of defense was the shield. And so when we think about the shield of faith, may I say this to you today, dear Christian friend, your first line of defense as you battle the enemy is your faith in Jesus Christ. And if your faith is weak, you're going to be weak on the battlefield. You need to be grounded in the Word of God, grounded in your faith. Again, that acrostic that I mentioned just a few moments ago, forsaking all, I trust Him. It's stepping out in faith and knowing that He is on the throne and we're not. God has a plan. And oftentimes we don't know what that plan involves. We don't know what that plan entails. And so that bothers us from our vantage point because we want to know everything around the corner. But God has a plan. And so as we go through the Christian life, sometimes we just have to, what do they call it? Step out in faith. We trust Him. We look to Him for guidance. How do we navigate that? Well, as we go through life, as we take each step going through the Christian life, we just be obedient to His Word. We live out a life that would honor and glorify Him. We do what the Scriptures say. That goes back to the breastplate of righteousness. We live a life marked with rightness with God. We live a life that honors Him. And as we do that, God will show us which steps to take. And so that helps us understand about what faith really looks like. The shield of faith is the first line of defense. Number two, a shield protects and deflects. Let me say that one more time. A shield protects and deflects. Once again, verse 16. We're just camping out at verse 16. In all circumstances. It doesn't say, by the way, in some circumstances. It says all circumstances. Take up the shield of faith. Let me just kind of pause right there. Think about what he's saying. That in every circumstance in life, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter what it may look like, he's saying that we demonstrate faith in those moments. So in every aspect of your life, no matter what it involves, no matter what it entails, we demonstrate faith. It says in all circumstances, do what? Well, take up the shield of faith. And why do we do that? Well, this is what it says, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I remember when I was, grade school. I actually have two stories I'll tell you real quick about setting something on fire. I might have been a little bit of a pyro. I don't know. Neither one of the stories are really funny. They're just stories, I guess. But sixth grade, seventh grade, somewhere in that window of time, you know, parents working, and so a little bit of a latchkey kid in the summertime, and I was making me some toast in the toaster, and a lot of kids don't even know these toasters these days, but you'd bring it down, and ours wouldn't pop back up when it was ready. It was such an old toaster that you had to keep an eye on it, and you had to make it pop up when the time comes. So you can kind of see where this story's going, right? This is a no-brainer. You've already figured it out. So I put my toast in, and I went into the living room and was watching something on TV. I don't know, probably the Jeffersons or something. Anyway, so the toast never popped up. And I'm just sitting there living it up like the Jeffersons or whatever. And then I see the kitchen filled with what? Smoke. And then I walk further into the kitchen. And the cabinet, the kitchen cabinet that was over the toaster, which by the way, that's never a good idea either. But anyway, there's like flames surrounding the cabinet. And so I had to get that hose from the sink and spray the cabinet. And I never told my parents until right now, so they can listen to this later. Another time pertaining to fire, putting out, extinguishing. Here's the idea, we're talking about extinguishing. I'll never forget going into my backyard. I was probably, 15 or 16, kind of an older kid, coming home from school, and there's this monstrosity of an anthill. I mean, this was a beast of an anthill. It just looked like it needed to be messed with. And so I go in the garage and I just get the gasoline tank, and man, I soak that puppy in gas. I just drench it in gas. And so I go upstairs into the house. I go up to the guest room that was over the kitchen, and there's this thing you can walk out on the roof of the house. So I climb out of the window and get on the roof, and I lay on my stomach and I just drop a little match. Whoosh! Like that. And I mean, I never thought in my life that it would respond in that way. I had to run downstairs, get the garden hose, and put out another fire. Those stories are stupid, I know, but it makes a point. Imagine the idea of extinguishing. I mean, that's the concept, that's the understanding that we're describing here. Extinguishing the flaming, fiery darts of the enemy. And the only way that we can extinguish those fiery, flaming darts is not in our own power. It's not in our own capability or in our own ability. It's by the power of God. And we step out in faith and we trust Him. And that's how we put up the shield of faith. And so the shield of faith protects and deflects. Number next. A shield is to be used with other shields. I've kind of already talked about this a bit. I don't want to, you know, harp on this too much. But I think we got the idea, the imagery that I was describing just a few moments ago. That shields are to be used with other shields. It was called the tortoise formation. By the way, I encourage you, if you want to just Google tortoise formation sometime and look at what that actually entailed, what it involved, and how they would collectively come together and fight the battle. And this goes back to my comments just a moment ago about our world seems to be on fire. We live in a society today that is so upside down morally. And the church has been silent. The church has been quiet. And the church is at fault for us to be in the condition that we are in today. The church needs to stand up. And the only way that we can do that is to collectively come together and link our shields of faith and navigate this world with faith in God. Standing firm on the Word of God and the principles of God. And so, a shield is to be used with other shields. And as they draw themselves together, they are strengthened in that moment. And I believe the church can be strengthened in that moment. Number four, a shield required maintenance. Again, I'm focusing on verse 16 today. This is what it says. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. A shield required maintenance. There were certain things that had to be done pertaining to that shield. The Roman soldier had duties and responsibilities about taking care of his equipment. The leather on the battle shields had to be treated with special oil or it would dry. It would dry out and crack and eventually break. And so on a daily basis, they had to oil their shields. May I say this to you? There is a spiritual lesson there staring us in the face. As we go through the Christian life, we have got to exercise our faith on a daily basis to be ready for battle. Also, before battle, it was saturated or drenched with water to diffuse the fiery darts that it could fence off in battle. And so there were things that the soldier had to do pertaining to his shield. Oftentimes within the Roman army, the soldiers would get time off and they could go spend a few days with their family. That was the way that it was structured. But they would have to take their shield with them, and even though they were having time off and time with the family, they still had to carve time out every day to oil the leather on that shield and keep it in the condition that it needed to be in. And so it is with our faith. We need to oil our faith, so to speak. As we go through the Christian life, it's vital and important that our shield, that is our faith, has that daily maintenance, that we daily get into the Word of God, that we don't slack off, that we don't get comfortable, so to speak, that we find the necessity of feeding and feasting upon the Word of God. I don't stand up here today and act like I've got it all together. There are days where I drop the ball. There are days that I fail to have my quiet time. And know this, when I do that, I know it. I feel it, and I can attest to it. There is something to be said about daily getting into the Word of God and exercising your faith. I pray with all of my heart as we go through the daily battles of life that we would do that required maintenance that we see within Scripture, that we would exercise our faith and demonstrate it in a great way. A couple of other verses on faith that come to mind, and the guys can put these on the screens. Acts chapter 16, verse 5, it says, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily." The church grew. The church grew because of their faith. I mean, when you think about the ingredients of a healthy church, what's going to help the church grow? What's going to help the church flourish and function? May I say this to you today? One of those ingredients is a faithful church. I don't want the church here at Meridian to be faithful to society. I don't want this church to be faithful to Knoxville, Tennessee, or the volunteers, or whoever it might be. I want the church to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so a healthy church will flourish when there's great faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, now we see faith. So the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness go hand in hand. There is righteousness associated with faithfulness. How about Romans chapter 10, verse 17? It says this, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." There's something to be said about hearing the word of God and taking it and applying it to our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." How about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God." James chapter 2, verse 17, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead." And then Hebrews chapter 11, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." There's something to be said. I close with this thought. There's something to be said about stepping out in faith as a church, as believers, and leaning upon each other and working together in great faith. I want to read this story as we close. And maybe you've heard it. It's one of the oldest sermon illustrations that I've ever held on to. I remember hearing this sermon illustration mentioned by my pastor growing up, Dr. Adrian Rogers, and I think he shared this sometime back in the early 80s. And I later found it in print, and I saved it. So this has been around for quite some time, but I want you to listen to it. "In the days of Nero, there was a band of soldiers known as the Emperor's Wrestlers. They wrestled for the emperor against all who challenged them. Before each contest, they would stand before the emperor's throne and cry out, 'We are the wrestlers wrestling for thee, O emperor, to win for thee the victory and from thee the victor's crown.' One year in midwinter, there was a rebellion waged in Gaul. And the emperor sent for his wrestlers and told them to go to Gaul to end the war that was raging on. This brave group of wrestlers left Rome under the command of Vespasian the centurion. While in Gaul, rumors spread to Rome that many of the emperor's wrestlers had become Christians. When the news of this reached Nero, he sent a message to Vespasian and said, 'If there be any of your soldiers who cling to the faith of the Christian, they must die.' Vespasian received the message while camped beside a frozen lake. He assembled his troops and asked, 'Are there any of you who cling to the faith of the Christians? If so, step forward.' 40 soldiers instantly stepped forward. Vespasian was stunned. He had not expected so many soldiers. He said, 'Until sundown, I shall give you time to deny your faith.' At sundown, the soldiers were again assembled together, and Vespasian asked, 'Who still clings to the Christian faith, even if it means death?' Again, 40 soldiers stepped forward and stood attention. He pleaded with them along and earnestly to deny their faith, but But not one soldier would deny Christ. Vespasian did not want these men who he had fought side to side together die at the hands of their fellow wrestlers. So he had them stripped naked. He reluctantly said, "The decree of the emperor must be obeyed. So you shall stand out on the frozen lake exposed to the elements until you freeze to death. Should you recant and deny Christ, the fire will remain burning on shore, and by returning to the shelter of the fire, you will be denouncing Christ and you shall live." The 40 soldiers stripped out of their clothing and marched towards the center of the frozen lake, but they cried out what they once chanted in the arena as they marched. 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory and from thee the victor's crown. All night long, Vespasian stood by his campfire and watched those 40 men out on the ice as they slowly succumbed to the elements. As they grew weaker and weaker, their cry grew fainter and fainter. 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win of thee the victory and from thee the victor's crown. As morning drew near, one soldier, overcome by exposure, left the frozen lake and came to the edge of the fire and renounced his Lord. Vespasian could hear faintly from the frozen lake, 39 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory and from thee the victor's crown. Vespasian was moved and God touched his heart. Vespasian ripped off his cloak, helmet, and armor, and he ran down to the frozen lake and huddled with his men. And again they chanted, 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory and for thee the victor's crown. And all God's people said, amen. Folks, there's something to be said about coming together as believers and fighting the good fight of faith. Having on our antenna those fiery flames of doubt, and that we demonstrate our faith by holding up the shield. I want every head bowed and every eye closed as we come to the time of gospel invitation. The invitation has been described by many as one of the most important points in a church service. I can't disagree with that. An invitation is an invite to do business with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus. There's never been that moment of conversion when you have yielded your life to Him. You see, the Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible also says, "God commendeth." That means demonstrated. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our sinfulness, Christ died for you and me. He died for you. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ. If that's the case, in just a moment, I want to invite you to do so. I invite you to step forward in the invitation, and I'd be so honored to sit down with you and show you within the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, if you call out to Him for salvation, based upon the authority of the Word of God, He will save you. Maybe you're here today and you are a child of God. You are a believer. But you're going through a difficult time. Maybe there's something heavy upon your heart this morning. This invitation is open to you as well. I encourage you to come and pray at this altar. I'd be honored to pray with you and encourage you through prayer. Finally, maybe there's another decision that you need to make. Maybe it's for believer's baptism or church membership, whatever the case may be. But in just a moment, as we have this gospel invitation, allow the Holy Spirit to lead, and may He be glorified in all things. Heavenly Father, we give you this invitation in advance. We thank you for the richness of your word, that we can open up Ephesians 6 and that we can take this passage in verse 16 and apply it to our lives. Oh, that we would demonstrate great faith. And Lord, as our adversary, the devil, throws those fiery darts of doubt our direction, that we would be prepared and ready for the battle. Father, we trust you in all circumstances. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together.